Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
What a week it's been for Ken Early and friends here at the Second Captain's World Service. We've had Roy Keane having a go at Erling Haaland, who then had Pep coming out to bat for him. There was another in our 8-year long, I think it is now, series entitled Who the Hell is the Next Ireland Manager Going to Be? And there was as much GA in rugby as any reasonable human being could expect to handle. We might as well begin with Roy Keane versus Erling Haaland versus Pep, though, because when Keane said that Erling Haaland's general play needs to improve from its current level of League 2 player, all the stuff that isn't the scoring goals at a historic rate bits of his game, basically, it was always going to get a response.
Said that Erling had a general play at the level of a League 2 player. What do you make of that verdict?
I'm not agree with him. Absolutely not. It's like he said, he's a manager for a second or third league. I don't think so. So he's the best striker in the world. And he helped us to win what we won last season. And the reason why we don't create much chances not for Merlin is we need more presence in the final third with more people. And we play an exceptional game. I reviewed the game against Arsenal, but just we miss more people in the final third. Maybe for the quality and different skills that we have, but Erling is exceptional.
A manager for the second or third league.
Was he saying, it's like I said, I would say Roy Keane is a manager for the second or third league and then say, no, I can't say that? Or was he just saying Roy Keane is...
Oh, I thought he said he's a manager for the second or third league. I thought it was pretty clear there. Like, you know, he's a second or third writer. And but he went on. He talked a lot about, like, oh, you know, it's just amazes me. You hear this from players, you know, they forget pretty quickly. You know, they made mistakes. The memory, it's gone like that, you know. And he made a few good points. I mean, he was in exceptional form, but that wasn't the only thing Guardiola was talking about, because this was. I mean, there was also the episode with Jack Grealish, which we had talked about and everybody was talking about, because it was like such a...
The Sage of Doha.
Well, it was well, yeah, he obviously, he didn't appreciate it. Myself and himself, once again, had a similar take. Although his take was, I mean, Keys, did we play Keys? I mean, he was just like, get it into the dressing room. Why are you doing this? You know, and his take was very much, you're doing this for the... Pep has asked about it. I think the question's in here as well. So this is how this situation went.
Can I ask you about Jack Grealish? After the game, you obviously had a chat with him on the pitch. I just wonder, we've seen you do that sort of thing with players before. What's the thinking behind speaking to a player on the pitch, or obviously with the cameras around, the crowd around, versus waiting for the dressing room?
Yeah, I do it for the cameras, for my ego.
I know you don't do it for the cameras. I'm just asking you what you're thinking is why it's important to get that message in that.
No, I'm the famous person of the team, and I don't recognize, and I need the cameras to my ego go to sleep with incredible satisfaction. So that is the reason why. So always I try to criticize the players there and let them feel that how bad they are. And especially when Erling scores 3 goals, the compliments has to be with me, not with them. That's why I use the cameras to do it there. So my advice next time, don't film us, it will not be a problem.
I don't know. I don't think he's been completely honest with us there.
Well, I mean, he obviously is responding with withering sarcasm. And it was. I mean, when I saw it first, I was chuckling at his stony face sarcasm, and I was thinking this is quite good. But at the same time, he is missing the point. Mm. It's not actually about him. This is the thing. He's so egotistical that he assumes it's about his. I mean, it's like most people looking at that.
Well, the question was about his behavior.
Yeah, but it's why do you do that? Because the problem isn't so much Guardiola's behavior. The issue is, how does this feel for the players?
Mm.
It's actually about, like, everyone's looking at Grealish's face.
Yeah.
Grealish's kind of grey, like, sickened face.
Yeah.
Because
I know the camera's on me. What is the most neutral I can make my face? It isn't an insult to Pep, but it's also not, like, a cry for help to the rest of the world who are watching this laughing.
Why do most managers not do this, right? It's not because they don't have anything to say to their players, yeah, yeah, or aren't going to scream at them or take them to task or whatever at some point, but because they appreciate to do it in front of everybody, not just in front of the teammates, but in front of the whole world, is humiliating. And it's as though Guardiola doesn't even recognize that dimension of the question. It's just like, oh, you're saying I do it because I'm egotistical? Well, no, I'm not egotistical. Like, no, it's like, what about your players? Mm. But, you know, the thing is with Guardiola, I suppose no one can quibble with the success. You know, he's the most successful coach in the world.
Because, that is another reason why other managers might not do it, because maybe other managers aren't quite so certain that the player isn't going to like absolutely fly back in a rage at them if they feel like they're being humiliated in front of millions of people.
Yeah, to be fair, Kevin De Bruyne does shout back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does actually react back, argue back to Guardiola, but De Bruyne is kind of untouchable.
Yeah.
Because of all the goals and the assists and the
brilliant
being
player.
The best player for a decade at the clubs. So he's an exception. But Grealish can't do that.
No.
You know, Grealish did that would be the end of him. But it is definitely the fact that Guardiola, in the position that he's in, with the club, the wages, the success, the fact that this is like the best team in the world, he doesn't have to think about how does my player feel.
Mm.
Maybe I want to, maybe I'm kind of annoyed with this guy and want to, but is now the moment? Maybe there's a better time. Maybe there's a better situation in which for me to do that. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And this was the other clip that was going around. This is not from his Villa press conference, but from the documentary, which I haven't watched yet, which is now on Netflix, about City's treble or whatever. Whatever, I'm not sure. I'll watch it at some point. But this clip was doing around after, and what this is from is the famous game that Pep Guardiola lost to Nathan Jones.
Mm. He got out. He just got outskilled by Nathan Jones.
He got out-tacticked by Nathan Jones in the Carabao Cup quarterfinal. This was last January. And this is a clip which shows Guardiola. This is a lengthy enough bit now, but this is Pep in the dressing room after the game. City players are all sitting around silently.
Very silently.
Pep's got a few things. Pep's got a few things on his mind and a few things he wants to get off his chest.
Do you think he's normal? The way you perform? In the problem, you were starting the problem, the game which something happened and everyone the head down. There is no one to do something. Honestly, do you think it's normal? What today we have done for this club? Do you think it's normal? For the guys who travel and they don't have money to pay the heater at home, to come here, to follow us, to perform in this way? Do you think it's normal? Wow. Like, my team is not like that. We'll be in trouble. We'll be in trouble. I don't accept that. sport, life is body language. How you approach life, how you approach the game. This is body language. And when you make a bad pass and the other one, you complain like this. Oh, we start bad. Yeah, we start bad. Can happen. But how you react after 80 minutes? You have 80 minutes left to play. Ah, that's going well. Ah, second one. No, it's here. No, that is here. That. You want to play? You want the ball? You want to move? You want to fight? You want to each other? As a brother? As a brother? Down to the earth, everyone, guys. Down to the earth. Work harder. Work better. Be humble. Be ambitious. Otherwise, the academy is ready.
So he goes on for a while, but the academy's ready. I think it's interesting. Like the way that he's basically saying to them, you'll be gone.
Yeah, I mean, and also you'll be gone even if your body language is bad.
Body language. Well, I thought that was interesting, isn't it? Sport is body language, like the kind of centrality of that. Yeah. I thought that was quite a generally interesting thing for him to say there.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that he believes that.
Well, he sounded like he did.
Yeah, I mean, in this moment, I'm literally talking like a Spanish footballer. Yeah, yeah. But in that moment, then I think you could kind of see. Okay, well, body language was a problem. So therefore,
body language is
the biggest single issue in football globally.
Yeah,
but I mean,
he talked a lot about it in the Villa press conference. Actually, he talked about, you know, people are like, because they mentioned that to him as well. It's like, how do you always find the right words? You know, after so many years here, how do you keep finding the right things to say? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, it's not like I have a formula. I mean, it just depends. You don't know what you're going to say at halftime. It depends what happens. So something happens and then you say this, and another thing happens and you say that. It depends. It's all about how you feel in the moment. But the situation that he has is he can easily replace any of these guys. There are a lot of managers. Most managers have to kind of try and
get on with the players.
You know, the same guy who was utter shit is going to have to play next week.
Yeah.
And the question is how to try and jolt out that.
Make him less shit next week than he was this week.
What Guardiola did in that case was get rid of Cancelo, who played in that game. He was gone a couple of weeks later. Got rid of Laporte. Got rid of Cole Palmer. Got rid of Calvin Phillips. These guys all started that game. Yeah. They all started the game. Sergio Gomez, we haven't seen in a long time. Grealish played. You know, he recovered a little bit. Ortega was memorably lobbed in the game. He's been playing, obviously, the recent games because, you know, he's managed to hang in there. But there is that element of, you know, when you're Pep, you can say, okay, well, I can decide on the basis of a couple of games. Good luck.
Yeah.
Whereas it's an element of his managerial style, which I don't think can necessarily be copied by everybody.
Yeah.
But he also went on, just the other event that I liked, he went on to talk about they had to play Man United, and they lost that game as well, right? That was the game when Rashford scored Bruno Fernandes scored the offside goal, or the controversial goal. So they actually,
that was fun.
They went on to lose that game 3 days later. But Guardiola refers to this game, and they've got some new, haven't they? They're hungry. And he says this to the team.
Today you show me the young ones and the senior ones, the new ones and the old ones you don't want. You are not hungry.
Ken, meanwhile, is increasingly impressed by young firebrand Shelburne coach Damien Duff, who he now sees as the most vital voice in Irish football.
I mean, Damien Duff really, more and more, is becoming the central voice in Irish football, at least for true Irish football, which is the only kind that counts. And he's increasingly a kind of a central figure. I mean, he manages a team, and, you know, people could... The team was involved in a game against Derry, and they drew the game. People could talk about the game. But the thing is, there's always so much more to talk about, and he's got a lot to say about different bigger issues, you know, that the actual game... Well, he did comment on the game. He said... His comment on the game essentially was that the Shelburne players were shitting rings around themselves. You know, you want to go into that dressing room.
That'll do.
We went out there and we got that point.
They could shit through the eye of a needle, Ken.
There was a virus. There was a virus that was going around. But the guys got up and went out, did the business, got a point. But more of the of the post-match commentary from Duff was kind of following up on his rallying call, would you call it, battle cry, something along those lines, on from Friday, where he'd said, it's brilliant. This was before the game on Good Friday. It's brilliant to be back in action this weekend. The last 2 weeks have highlighted that the leading light of Irish football is not the national team, but the league itself. It's bigger, better, more exciting, and more important. Every true Irish football fan has been waiting for this Friday, nothing else. So that was the quote that went out. And, I mean, which is, you know, he's doing a Vince McMahon job here, right? Yes. This is one of the greatest Vince McMahon jobs I've seen in the history of the League of Ireland. Yeah,
there's another wrestling federation that are going about their business in the Aviva, but we all know the one true.
Well, I think this has been, you know, it's good that for someone of Duff's stature in Irish football to do this sort of thing, it's been worth a try to see what might happen here. Can Damien Duff manifest what he's saying here? Can we, the true Irish football, should I use the word we there? Can the true Irish football community will this thing into existence? But obviously there's the whole, there's a couple of things that he said there which might be interpreted as being a little, you know, what are you getting at here? Because when he said the last 2 weeks have highlighted the leading line is not the national team but the league itself, the league hadn't, nothing had happened to the league in the 2 weeks. It had just been the FAI team being a disgrace, right? You know, the whole FAI, the whole thing.
I'm uncomfortable with your characterization here.
What?
The FAI team.
The FAI team. The regime team. the FAI regime's team.
Okay.
Just disgracing itself. You know, who's the manager? No one knows. Does anyone even care? Mm. Not Damien Duff.
He's not plotting a coup here, is he? Is that what you're saying? Is Damien Duff plotting a coup?
The regime team had been an utter disgrace. And this had... So the League didn't have to do anything in order for its to sort of... For people to realise this is actually what it's worth.
So now
the
various splinter groups from around the country have coalesced. They're behind the Damien Duff regime. Is that what you're saying?
The Damien Duff isn't running regime.
But I mean, listen...
The regime's headquarters are in Abbottstown.
Okay.
Abbottstown/London.
But there's a series of splinter groups now that Duff is trying to coalesce. They're coalescing behind a charismatic leader.
Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Yeah.
the Lisan Al-Ghaib of Tucker Park. So Duff says, because this people were like, oh, you know, that stuff you were saying, it sounded a bit like you were kind of saying that the FAI regime team is a load of shit.
And
people might laugh at me about the league. That's more important. What I said the other day, I meant it. I'm looking you in the eyes saying I meant it. So stuff. The future and quality of the Irish team in the next 5-10 years is going to come from the league. Everyone is saying that Duffer is crazy. A lot of people are saying Duffer's crazy. Many people, he says, I'm not crazy. I'm emotional. I adore football. I love my national team. And like I always say, it's got to be the league. I stand over again what I said, watching the games. The bit that gives me hope and pleasure is watching the league, not the international break. I absolutely believe that a lot of football fans around the country were waiting for the league to come back and the international window to finish. This is certainly the case. It's actually the case in most countries in Europe.
Yes.
People hate international football. I mean, and a lot of football fans, and I don't just mean the true football fans in this country, but also the fake football fans were in the same boat waiting for the international break to finish. So the real business of Arsenal against Manchester City robot wars could recommence.
Yeah.
Waiting for the league to come back. Regardless of the manager, I really have no interest now. I'm sure everybody in the Irish team, even players, might have looked at that quote the other day and probably thought I disrespected them or whatever. Get them to ring me, text me, and I'll ring them and explain why. I'll stand over it. And when I say the league is the future, it comes from the academies. It's all back to academies. Get the best manager in the world, Pep Guardiola or whoever, it still starts with academies. That's why the league is the future. I'm not saying pick 5 players off our team. It's academies, academies, academies. By the time academy structures are properly in place, money's invested, the manager who comes in now will be long gone by the time academies start churning out the players. If I'm a manager taking over Ireland tomorrow, you're not really going to be given time for academy players coming through. It's a results business. John O'Shea is there. He's a classy guy, has surrounded himself with a good backroom team. Why not leave him at it? I love the Irish international team the same as everyone. I hope they do well. I hope John gets the job. If he doesn't, I hope the person who comes in does a good job. I'm so transfixed on the league. I love it. This has been the best 2.5 years of my life. Again, people might say, many people, what is Duffer saying? But I mean it. This has been amazing fun. I don't even know what to say about the international scene. I don't want it to come across that I'm bashing it. I am not. Yeah, you're a bit, I'd say. You're a bit. But
a bit, but I also see what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I do, absolutely. And goes on to talk. I mean, people are like, well, what about you? I mean, you seem like, you know, why don't you? You're obviously our Messiah. You've sort of, he's started to look increasingly messianic, Duff.
That's a word, yep.
Well, he's
got a beard. I mean, you know, not all people with beards are messiahs, you know.
No, but not everybody has the kind of wild intensity that Duff is now able to bring, which is not something necessarily you would have associated with the more youthful Damien Duff. You know what I mean?
Who slept 21 hours a day or whatever the cliche about Damien Duff was.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he, you know, he was a kind of, he was more of the, one of the quieter ones at that stage, you know, or perceived to be, you know, whereas now he's a prophet, like he's a prophet screaming into your face.
They've been on the toilet, in the toilet.
The grass. But he, you know, what about you? Why don't you lead us? You know, go over to the regime and take over their team or whatever. The grass is not always greener. I am surrounded by players I trust. Trust goes a long way with me. I work with a lot of quality people that I love. I trust. I care about it. I would be crazy to walk away from something like that, something I love. Trust. He says the word trust a lot of times there.
Yeah.
Which I think...
Well, I wonder would he take over a League of Ireland team to play the FEI's regime team?
Well, this is what I think we should start doing.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this at the end of the season or whenever? Like, we're playing Hungary in a friendly. Yeah, probably you'll have 40,000 morons there to see Szoboszlai. You know, you'll have 40,000 morons who will get a look at Szoboszlai. They're heroes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Peter Gulacsi will be there. You know, he used to play for Liverpool. You know, but instead
the end of the regime season, not the end of the real league season, like play it in June. You mean?
Well, it's a kind of the winter calendar or whatever. It's sort of a Northern Hemisphere thing. We can't pin everything on the Abbasan regime. But why don't we have that each year where we play where the regime team plays the League of Ireland All-Star team? Really?
I mean, I think it's a very good idea.
I think everyone would watch this.
Your constant use of the words FAI regime.
Well, this is why I'm trying to get you to understand that there's
another way of doing things.
What's happening here, yeah. Right? You know, for so long we've just got used to thinking of, oh, the FAI, I suppose that's our, you know, football association. But what if we stepped outside that box and started looking at it from outside, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and we're like, well, this, you know, what if we start to suddenly we're no, you know, why assume the identification with what the FAI are? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, would there be a? There might be something of, oh, well, how can I play against my country? That, you know, there might be this type.
I'm sure
of thing.
Duffer would have an answer for that.
No, I think it would be. I mean, if you're going to play friendly matches,
yeah.
I mean, the problem is, okay, sometimes you're going to have a competitive international, right? At that time, but there's always going to be a friendly date in the calendar. When this could be put in, yeah. I think there's a lot riding on a game like that, you know.
Well, there would. There'd be a lot riding on the regime's team. I mean...
Well, you know, I mean, people, they're like, oh, you know, do I really have to play international friendlies? You know, I'd much rather just sit at home in my massive house in England. I'm imagining the thoughts of a fictional player.
Talk about getting red-pilled by Duffer. This is unbelievable.
Green-pilled. I'm imagining the thoughts of a fictional international player. And I'm sure there are now lads. There's a lot of good lads in this squad. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're playing for the only squad.
Real football in the past, and they might come back and play real football again.
But you know, if he were in that team and ended up losing 3-1 to the League of Ireland, also, you know, that's it. That is interesting.
Yeah.
That's more than like, oh, Szoboszlai scores a penalty, you know, and we once again gallantly lose 1-0, or you know, limply lose 1-0, you know? Limply losing to the League of Ireland 11, who I imagine would be motivated to show their own quality. Yeah.
Absolute shocker. 42,000 morons going to watch Liverpool's reserve team.
You get 42,000 for that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It happened to me on the dart.
It's time to get busy in this motherfucker.
Like we always do about this time.
Okay, all right, I'm going to reveal a piece of information now. Well, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 4 days.
So what I'm saying is to this guy, cheer up. How about you wake up?
Last time I took the dart, I was over to split.
Wake up. Wake up to what's happening in the world.
Hey, Pat, do you want a split? You know?
European club rugby is roaring back into our collective consciousness with the force of a hurricane this week, and we had Rory O'Connor and Stuart Barnes, the voice of European rugby, on the show yesterday to talk about Munster's uphill task against Northampton, and as you'll hear here, the battle for Leinster's number 10 position, which is pitting brother against brother in Leinster's own version of the Irish Civil War.
You know, they've only got one Champions Cup in 12 years now, and that's a massive underperformance for a franchise of
when
their size.
They've been favourites or in the top three favourite teams. How many of those seasons of the last 12?
Certainly the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And they've gotten to finals and they've put themselves in winning positions and they've squandered those winning positions. But you wonder whether that's weighing on their minds mentally now. How much baggage do they have?
It's just whether they can overcome it or not.
Or turn it into a positive, and it gives them the want, the hurt, you know, that they can channel that hurt like Munster did in 06.
Pre-06, yeah.
So...
Or even New Zealand pre-07.
Yeah. There's parallels with those teams, but until they get there, we have... And I think increasingly, you throw in Ireland's quarterfinal defeat to New Zealand, you throw in Twickenham, and you are seeing these players looking frazzled in those last 10
plus
minutes of
the Scotland
big games.
Game, plus the England game last year for the Slam.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw in examples of other games that they've won and, you know, you test the cider in New Zealand, but I think until they get this job done with Leinster... there is a question mark hanging over this team.
And Leinster have a lot more nearly days than Ireland do, actually.
Absolutely. But like, they are largely the same group of players. Mm. And they surround themselves by the iconography of their great team. So you walk into Leinster's training centre, the Heineken Cup's on display, or the Champions Cup's on display. There's pictures of Leo Cullen lifting the trophy all over the building. Like, everywhere you go. Interview the players, there's a backdrop of trophies being lifted. And I suppose that's to give the players a sense of what they're joining. But I think if they don't get it done this year, that increasingly becomes a burden on them. And there's players in that dressing room who've never won a European Cup. There's players in that dressing room who've never won anything for Leinster because they haven't won the URC for 3 years either. Now, that is not... like, they are underperforming.
Dripping with Six Nations medals, but...
Yeah, absolutely. So
can't win with Leinster.
That's all hanging over them as they go into this. I don't see this as the one where they come unstuck, but I do think there's a big question over them because it's the first time they've ever gone into a... I know he wasn't there last year because of his injuries, but Sexton's not in the building. They have a question mark at out half this week. They've never really had a question mark at out half before. Can they win a Champions Cup with Harry Byrne, Ross Byrne or Kieran Frawley playing at 10? We don't know. They've never won without Sexton. And even this week, we're not quite sure who's going to start, which is an incredible position for a team we think
Not only are we not sure, I bet you anything, Niamh Aber and Leo Cullen aren't, no matter what decision they make, they won't be like, yes, let's definitely back Ross or Frawley or Harry.
Yeah, Ross's form isn't great, and Ross has also been to the semi-final against La Rochelle in 2021, didn't get the job done. 2023 final, didn't get the job done. Now, hanging it all on him is very, very harsh, but that's what your out-half does. You look at the history of this competition, it's largely been won by teams with great out-halves. I'd love to hear Stuart's thoughts on the 10 position, because I think Harry might start this week because he started against the Bulls. They do chop and change, but even chopping and changing your 10 speaks to it. You know, the rest of the team is quite settled, but you're chopping and changing the most important position. It's strange to me.
No, I mean, I thought Ireland had Sexton had to keep going because I feel Ross Byrne has developed into someone who watches Johnny Sexton and tries to just be an imitation Sexton, and you can't do that. When things go very well, you can play to the same patterns, but you have to have your own independent identity, and I don't think Byrne is quite good enough, and I think it was one of the few mistakes that Andy Farrell made in the build-up to the World Cup. I just thought he persevered a little bit too long. I don't know who the best Leinster fly half is. I don't see them as much as you guys, but I see them quite a bit, and I can't work it out. And I must say, not blowing the trumpet of fly halves because I was a former one myself, I wouldn't be in a hurry to back a team to win a big tournament if they don't know who their 10 is. And I think I agree with Rory there. I think there is a big hole in that position. Having said that, I looked at this week's 8 knockout ties, and there is only one game where I would say I would be shocked, stroke stunned, if one result went the way I didn't expect, and that is in Dublin. I nothing's impossible, but Leicester are not playing very well. They're not a great team. They're not a great counter-attacking team. So even if Leinster still play the long raking boot, they give Freddie Stewart a chance to run, I think Leinster will be quite happy with that. Leicester like to play percentages, you know. Pollard's playing poorly. Take the point about their forwards. They've got some very fine forwards, but this is in Dublin. Psychologically, Leinster might have some worries when they go to bed at night and Ronan O'Gara's there with that cork grin looking up towards Dublin. But when they go to bed and they're thinking about Leicester, they see comfortable victories. And like I say, it's the only game of the 8 where I really cannot imagine the other team winning, in this instance, Leicester. Other 7 games, I can, you know, even Leon at the Bulls, I don't think they'll win, but they're a very good team and it's possible, but not this one, not this one. And you know, Leinster play pretty well in rounds of 16, quarterfinals. They're good there. They're really comfortable there. It's when it gets to the semis in the final, the heat comes on, that's when things change a little bit. So let's wait and see. But I don't think Leinster will win the tournament this year. I cannot imagine them not making the quarterfinals, though.
Yeah. So they've signed Niamh Aber, and Stuart touched on it there, this idea of how Leinster will react in semi-finals and finals and facing La Rochelle and Raj and all that. But you've been watching the Chasing the Sun 2 documentary, which is more or less all about Rassie and how he ticks the psychological boxes of all these players. And we're actually going to play a clip here, Brano, and this is Rassie after the loss to Ireland in the World Cup pool game.
For me, there was not enough pain in their faces. There was not enough regret on their faces. There was not enough, we fucked this up in their faces.
Let's prepare ourselves for some honesty, guys, management and player. Next week, we might all fly home, all of us. Just because maybe you or me, Rassie, were totally wrong because nobody fucking pulled me back in line and said, hey, you're not fucking clowns. You're adults with children, with a mum that worries about you, a dad that's proud about you, a lady that looks up to you. He must see you enjoy and you're proud to play for the Springboks. For fuck's sake, we can be number one in the world. What the fuck's going on with you? Have you become bigger than the game? I promise you, Siya Kolisi is not the biggest thing in South Africa. South Africa is the biggest thing in South Africa. It's not because we lost. It's because it's been brewing and brewing and irritating me. All your beautiful songs that you sing. All the things, Afrikaans song, Engels, Khoza, but no matter what. You sing all of them. But you're false to pretend that you will die for your country, but you will not die for your country. You will not.
It's interesting, he says, you will not die for your country, because I remember talking to Shane Horgan after they won the World Cup, and he said the biggest difference between South Africa and the rest is not tactics, it's not the players, they're all factors, but the biggest factor for them is that they look like they're literally willing to die on the pitch. And there's lots of motivated rugby players around the world, but South Africa just have that bloodthirsty element to them.
And you can't, like, you cannot replicate what South Africa have. You watch that documentary and they go to Bongiang Mnambi's home and where he's come from and what he's doing and how he has to provide for his family and how the family, who are, you know, middle class in certain way in South Africa, but still, like, he had to have lifts to training and things like that. You know, they're all watching back where he's from, and it means so much to him. And it's like, you cannot replicate that if you come from Ballsbridge and you went to Michael's and you get into the Leinster Academy. Leinster can't copy it. But I have to say, I really enjoyed the documentary, the episode about Ireland, because it gave so many nuggets about, like, they don't give anything tactical away. But that's the last scene. I thought that was an extraordinary clip. I thought the fact that Razzie Erasmus allowed that to be broadcast to the world, where he essentially calls his captain, the most popular figure in world rugby, arguably, false. Because he's the one who sings before games. He name checks him. He's the only player who name checks. And goes through his entire squad. I thought it was an amazing insight into the way, because we all see the Erasmus from the outside. And he does probably give more of himself than a lot of others. It was incredible. Like, I wonder if they had been knocked out by France in the quarterfinal, would the documentary have ever been made? But certainly would that have been allowed to be published. But it was a... Look, Stuart's been in a lot more team meetings and dressing rooms over the years than I have been. To me, it's probably the best insight I've seen in any sports documentary at all. And they give loads about the Ireland stuff, and it was really interesting. But I thought that was, you know, it was an amazing thing to see. And to see the level that he went to tear strips off his team, and the results that he got, it was fascinating. Like, I don't see Ian Aber doing that to Leinster this week, but you can see why South Africa...
He has observed that, though.
Well, he's part of it. He and Erasmus are thick as thieves. They're two sides of the same coin. So Razzie's the kind of more bombastic... Like, Ian Aber's almost Razzie's brain in terms of, in a rugby sense, but they are, you know, the... Razzie sets a tone, but Ian Aber would have been completely on board with that. And he's seen the results of it as well. But I can't see Leo Cullen doing that to Leinster players in the next couple of weeks. But it goes back, you know, going back to the World Cup, you know, did Andy Farrell get a chance to bring his team to that place if they sail through the pool with the, you know, they were listening to the Zombie and thinking they were great, whereas South Africa were resetting it in a way, you know. Yeah. But maybe teams do that all the time, but I you don't see it on documentaries very often, and you don't hear about it very often as well. I thought it was an incredible insight and an incredible thing to just let out into the world.
To join the Second Captains World Service, go to secondcaptains.com/join, and we'd love to have you on our team. It's £5 a month plus VAT, depending on where you are in the world, so check it out. We think it's bloody great value, and remember, you'll be hearing every show ad-free and without interruption if you join up. If not, then we'll talk to you on Monday. And don't forget, Second Captains is part of the Acast Creator Network.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The Second Captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.